we seem to lead up to them or get somewhere in the neighborhood of them, and somehow we don't seem to be able to get across to it. I say again that we come, you know, a lot of people say, well, I come to church for one reason or another as to their difference, as why they come. Some people say, well, I want to be prepared when the grim reaper comes, and when I go to die, I want to be ready to die. Well, I don't always agree with the reasons why they come. Everybody has they have their reasons for coming. I certainly don't agree with them that we come to church so that we'll be ready to die, because I'm not planning to die. So if I was coming to church for that reason, my coming would be all in vain, because he's born of God, don't die. So that's for sure. I don't come for that reason. But I come to church to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, moving on toward the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and moving toward the full reward. The Bible said that we might receive a full reward. So I'm moving on toward that full reward. And if you're not coming for that reason, then I suggest that you come for that reason, because that is the suggested way as to the scriptures, that we should come for that reason. As many things to say, and I always try to be sure that I say the right thing or go to the right place to the best that I understand, to try to do the right thing. There is some things that's going on in the spiritual world, just like there is in the natural world. And in the natural world, there's a lot of things. And we who are spiritual, or we that have divine perception, just like a physician watches after the physical aspect of life, and he is up on the things in the physical, then there are people that are spiritual that stay up on the things in the spirit. And we try to understand the spiritual things that we might share them with you. And there's no way that a human being can give another human being spiritual things. Because to begin with, a human being is not spiritual. He's just natural. He's carnal. He's fleshly. His desires is natural and fleshly, so he can't give anybody anything. And that makes it very difficult, because human beings meet with human beings, whether they're preachers or whether they are deacons or whether they're just plain working folks. And when they come together, then human beings have come together with human beings, and that's all they are. So then if we started as to say, well, now, who's going to teach us? That would eliminate, start with the pastor and eliminate every last one of us that calls ourselves preachers, and then get down to the laity, and there wouldn't be nobody left. Unless we are in full assurance that the Holy Spirit is our guide and our teacher, and that we shall all be taught of God, and that it shall not be human beings speaking, but it will be God speaking. Now, if we don't contact God, if we don't contact the Holy Spirit, then we won't get anything. Someone would say, well, there's one thing about it. As long as the preacher's got something, I'm going to get something. No, that's where you're wrong. The preacher can have it, and all the church can have it, and you can be set in the midst of them. And the Bible said you'll not even see when good comes. Your eyes won't even behold. You won't see anything. For the wicked shall not see when the good comes, neither shall the wicked understand. So you don't get anything. But if you do come hungering and thirsting after the things of God, though you might stumble, though you might stagger, though you might make mistakes, yet you are diligently trying to serve God, then the Lord so graciously, so wonderfully, like a mother that just will pick up the little one and wash his little dirty hands, you know, the innocency that God sees within you then this makes God relate to you. And he will feed you. He will care for you because you are his very precious child. And as you grow, just as people grow in school, you graduate from one stage of life to another and from one state of mind to another. As a matter of fact, all the natural things show in the spiritual. It's very evident that school shows that you are moving from as to a kindergarten to even a greater school. Even in elementary school, you are still changing grades. And then when you get into the greater place as to a high school, you begin to learn more. And then after that, you get into college and you begin to really take on the way of life. Sorry to say that other than in the very minor grades where children don't know very much, that the rest of it is a slop hole, if you'll pardon my expression. From elementary school to high school and into college, it is one of the biggest slop holes that's ever been in the earth. Never been a bigger one. And it has corrupted all humanity. And the more you learn, the more sloppy you get. But the thing is, Jesus said that that was for the pigs, because that's what you feed the swine is slop. And the vomit is for the dogs. But there are people in the earth that are not following the old system of the tree of knowledge that leads unto death and self-esteem. And that makes you hunger after the vanities of this world. There are just simple down-to-earth people that are hard-working people that don't want to con their way through life. And they're not trying to learn anything, you know, to be anything other than they want to find God. So like I was telling somebody today, we was having a little discussion about this. And I said, I just don't care for the upper echelon way of life. I said, it's all so fictitious and it's so hypocritical. It's so superficial. I said, it's like a synthetic thing. I said, there are people that are exceedingly rich in this world, that whereas God has given them riches and they're great kings and they're leaders, even as Solomon that he raised up, and they really do have wealth. And I said, and there is a common people that heard salvation and the preachings of salvation, hearing Christ gladly. And salvation is sent to the poor, for the rich have their consolation, the Bible said. And in that day they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, as they throw all their riches to the bats, because they did not use their riches to help the widow, the orphan, the hungry, and whatever. Whereas some do, but not very many. The Bible says not many mighty are called. But see, there's an in-between class. They're not really rich. They're leeches. They're educated leeches that don't want to work. And they spend all of their life trying to con somebody, whether they're lawyers or doctors or whatever they are, to get control to where they can have all kind of money, all kind of wealth, all kind of prestige. And they are the middle wall of petition that has to be taken out of the way. So then the exceedingly rich people that are given riches of God, and there is a riches that comes from God that addeth no sorrow, and then there's a riches that comes from the world, whereas the Bible said, and riches gotten by labor shall increase, the blessing of the Lord will be upon a man and make him rich and add no sorrow. And then there are the people that do not have those kind of riches. They thieve, they steal, they manipulate. They've got their systems to rob the poor and take into captivity them that don't understand. And those kind of people are bad people. Though they're polished with their ethics, they're like whited sepulchres. They are very religious. They appear to be ever so nice, and they're full of dead men's bones or full of corruption. I remember preaching for the Full Gospel Businessmen down in Belize. And I remember their leader down there in Belize got up and testified. He realized that we believed in real godly living, so he was just honest and up straight up front with the people, straight about it. He just got up and testified, and he was a banker before he got into the Full Gospel Businessman. And he told those people how dirty and filthy that he was. I mean, he just didn't bar anything. He just come out and told them from beginning to end that he was less than a dog and a pig in the mire of the world. He said he was so dirty and filthy and covered the filth up. I mean filthy. And covered it up with being a banker and the polished ethics of life and how that the other side of life was as to where he was. And kind of like a policeman over here one time, a friend of mine, he became acquainted with me, told me about the Athens police, that it's the dirtiest, filthiest mess, Brother Pike. He said, I left the thing. He said, because I wouldn't cater to their evil ways. They didn't like me, and I just left. And I'm over here in this little town, a policeman over there, which he had full authority there. But anyway, that's the way the world is, see. That's the way the world is, and I don't like it. I don't like that kind of thing. I don't cater to them kind of people. I just like good old-fashioned folks. And that's the way Jesus was. The Bible said, condescend sin to men of low estate. And that's what Jesus did. Be not heady and high-minded, but condescend sin to men of low estate. Just be what you are. Be contented with what you've got. And be thankful. Like the songwriter said, be thankful. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. And when I meet people that are superficial and just trying to get rich and want businesses and all kind of things, I don't say much to them. I just let them go ahead. They say, well, you think I can do it, Brother Pike? I say, sure, go ahead. You know, the world's full up. Did you know, like I was telling my son Daniel the other night, Danny was saying something about money. He's been blessed in his business. I'd prayed and asked God to bless the business, and he has blessed it. And Daniel found out it was blessed, and he went after it in a big way, and he's got it, and he's really being blessed in it, tremendously blessed. But I told Daniel, I said, Danny, did you know it's not hard to get rich, and it's not hard to have money. I know a lot of folks think, man, I just can't have no money. I just can't make enough money. Well, strangely enough, it's like I told Danny, I said, money is one of the fastest accumulating things I know of. I said, and you can have more money than most anything there is in the world. I said, money just pours in. I said, and that's to give you some idea, Danny, of how people spend money and what kind of spendthrifts they are. I said, hundreds of thousands of dollars passes through their hand, and they spend it and they squander it like the prodigal son. I said, all you got to do is just hem it up a little bit, and it'll just pile up. I said, it will literally pile up. I said, because everything that a man does from morning to night, 7 days a week, 24 hours around the clock, as long as he's awake and can go and think, is to try to get money. I said, so it accumulates plenty fast. So Danny thought, well, now that must be true. Dad told me. So he puts a lot of confidence in what I said. So he just started hemming up in the last 2 or 3 days. And man, he come the other day and said, stacked up into hundreds of dollars in just a few days. And he was amazed. See, it really works like that. People are just spendthrifts. They're greedy dogs that never get enough. God puts tens of thousands of dollars through their hands regular, and they just eat it up and drink it up and squander it and throw it away to the extent that they always feel like that they're on the side of life that's filled with poverty and that they just can't make it. And yet they drink it up in alcohol. They throw it away at pinball machines. They go to the frolics of the world. They spend it just riding. They dope up. They throw their money away. Every kind of thing that can be mentioned. Constantly buying, buying, buying. They're like a pack rat. They just buy stuff and pack it back, whether it's clothes or shoes or whatever it is, when others are starving and hungry, don't even have a garment, and then complain all the time, every time you see them, just about it. They are out of the groceries. They are out of food. They can't pay their bills. They don't have no system to their life. Their whole life is out of control, and they blame everybody, and they're always upset, and they never have any peace because they are full of the world and the things of the world, and their minds are on spending, eating, drinking, buying, selling, as it was in the days of Noah. And the Bible said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. First, all flesh is corrupted its way before God, and they were buying, and they were selling, and they were building, and they were marrying, and they were given in marriage, and till the day that Noah went into the ark, that's the way it was. So we are, as a people, all out of control, all out of shape. He that is a spendthrift, that is wasteful, is a brother to a sluggard, which means somebody that just don't work and won't do nothing. What's the need of working, you know? You're just like the sluggard. You ain't going to have anything anyway. Won't have anything anyway. Like the little thing I told one time of a little article that I read, a man trying to convince another man that he should work, that he should make money, told him of all the things that he could have until he got the man into the stream of thoughts. And the man said, well, if I did that, I could have this, and I could have this, and went down the line of all these great things that he could have. He said, and I'd be rich. He said, and then I could retire, and I wouldn't have to do nothing. And then he thought it all over, and he said, well, why go through all that? So I ain't doing nothing no way. So that's about people's attitudes, you know. I mean, if that's what it's going to lead to is retirement, he was already retired under the shade tree or whatever. Anyway, that's people's frame of mind. Let's read just a little bit from the book of Revelation and think this over. Folks, I tell my wife a lot of things that I don't get to tell you. But it was like I was telling Betty today. We come here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Though you have many reasons as to social benefits or whatever. You come here that you might receive the words of eternal life. And as I was telling her, you know, we place a lot of stock in the teachings of the rapture and all these great things. And someone would say, well, isn't that the way it's going to be? Well, I tell you over and over as your pastor, that word isn't used in the Bible to begin with. That is a natural application, and it sure is besetting as to an intellectual expression. The Bible gives it as from glory to glory. You're called to virtue and glory, which means virtue as to coming out of the world, separating yourself from the things of the flesh. The Bible said putting away the filth of the flesh, because indeed it is filthy. And then you're called to virtue. And with this virtue, then you're called to glory, because as a virtue comes, glory is revealed within you. Even his glory as to a measure, in that you're able to see, receive it as a measure. Now, see, the thing is, we're waiting for a rapture as to the word meaning caught away, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air at Thessalonians change in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. But what we don't understand a lot of times, we don't give enough time to the Word of God in prayer and study to understand or to realize the seriousness of going to church or what God's going to require of us. So we're a lot like the teachings of Catholicism and those things. People are in general moving that way more and more. Let the priest take care of that. Let him bless me, and that's it. I got lots of things to do, like playing ball and going wherever, you know, and being in the frolics of the world and making money and being in the elite side of life. But in all reality, this is the translation. This is the rapture. Somebody said, well, now I understand that, Brother Pike. You know, I understand that. That you're telling us that this is the way it is, that we've got to understand, you know, that we've got to convince ourselves that this is the way it is. Not really, you know, because after a while we're really going to make the rapture when the soul body is changed. No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. That shows that you are fuddled up in your mind. That's not what I'm teaching. It's not any make-believe about it. This is the translation. Oh, no, somebody says. Oh, yes. This is the translation. Somebody said, well, this will do till that comes. No, this won't do till that comes. This is already it. There won't be nothing else coming. Oh, someone said, well, I know where you're at now. No, you don't. No, if you're thinking in that terms, you don't know where I'm at because you can't even see me. How could you know where I'm at? Somebody says, well, I know I see you. Well, the Bible teaches that he that is holy just as he is holy, and good just as he is good by the goodness of God. And the Bible said you can't even see good when good comes. How do you know where I'm at? So it's very evident that you don't know, you don't understand. But the righteous do comprehend as to whatever measure they give themselves to this, as to the heights, 34, 64, 100-fold. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, present you body, soul, and spirit blameless. See, this is the translation. Someone would say, well, give me a proof of it. Well, the Bible says that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. the seventh from Adam. Why? Because he was not under the law. He was not under the law, therefore there was no penalty of death. So he was translated that should not see death, because transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the sting of death, and there was neither of those in his day. So then here we are on this side of Calvary. Now we're back to the same place that Enoch was. The law has been fulfilled, every jot and every tittle, and we're free from those things. Now, if we're free from those things, then why is it that we live the way we do, think the way we do? Why is it the situations with us are as they are? And why do the ministers preach the way they do? See, there's something missing. There's something misunderstood. There's something that they don't understand. It's like a brother I was talking to the other day, sitting there in a car with me. And when the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to him about some things, he just frankly looked over at me and he said, "Those folks just don't understand." So that's all. Speaking of the people in the ministry of today, he said, "They just don't understand." As he went with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit as to the understanding, he realized for sure that they didn't understand. So when you speak about the translation of the church, the Lord has stated that I'll come back in an hour that you think not. I will, as a thief in the night, steal away the jewels. And he made it real clear that we are changed from glory to glory, and that the law and the prophets until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God has been here, that we're not waiting for it to come, that it hath been here, and that men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And it says, "For God hath," as to that which is a present thing, is to a present tent, "hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God." Now, if I'm translated into the kingdom of God, and if I ask you, if I said now, are you translated into the kingdom of God? Have you been translated into the kingdom of God? Then I would say, now, as I'm going to say, would you raise your hands if you've been translated into the kingdom of God? Would you raise your hand? Well, we've got a few of them. It's a very few. Now, if you've been translated into the kingdom of God, then would someone stand up and show me the kingdom of God, so that everybody can see the kingdom of God, so that they too can get translated into it? No volunteers? All right. So that's where the preacher comes in. Can he do it? He that God sends will speak God's word. The Holy Spirit through him will do it. You mean he will make us see the kingdom of God? He will make you see the kingdom of God. With the wonderful light of this gospel, the eyes of your understanding, you won't see this with your natural eye. There is no way that you're ever going to see the kingdom of God with your natural eye. Someone would say, "Well, now I believe that." Well, why do you wait for the kingdom to come? If you believe that, do you really know what you believe? If you believe that and the churches believe that, why do they keep preaching about a kingdom that's going to come? I mean, let's be realistic, folks. Let's face the facts. If they really believe that, why do they keep preaching, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth"? Somebody said, "Now, Brother Pike, Jesus taught his disciples, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, don't you believe that? Don't you preach that word? Isn't that what God said for you to preach? It certainly is. And I believe every word of it. I believe that when his disciples was present with him and he was there with them, he preached and said, "I'm going to Calvary in just a few days and the kingdom of God is going to come. And before I go away, let me tell you now, when it comes, I want my will done on earth. And the only way the Father's will is going to be done is for when I die at Calvary, I'm going to return and come back into your heart. And I, as Christ, I am the kingdom of God, the fullness of God, and all that he is in his wealth and riches is in me as Christ. And I'm going to come back in your heart as a measure of that kingdom as to whatever you're willing to receive. The measure, 34, a little baby crawling around. 64, there's a person that gets a little older and knows a little more. And 100-fold, there are people with diplomacies of life that do understand as to life, natural life. So then he said, now when the kingdom comes, I want my will done. So he fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law. He folded it up and laid it away. Because he made the statement, he said, think not that I have come to destroy the law. I come to fulfill the law and to fulfill the prophecy of the prophets that prophesied of me. And he said to those people, he said, you think you have eternal life. Now, could you imagine the Lord talking to those Jews like that? Said, you are great scholars and whatever, and you think you have eternal life. He said, but you need to go back and do some more reading and study and search the scriptures, the scribes. He said, because those prophecies was of me. All of those testimonies were of me. All of the scriptures testify of me. They were talking about the Lamb that was to come. Now, when he come, he said, I'm going to fulfill the law, because not one jot or tittle will pass the law be fulfilled. Because the kingdom could not come until the law was fulfilled. Because unless the law be fulfilled, we were still under sin. We were still under curse. We were still under the evil things of life. Poverty. Still under the wrath of God. As to the power of consummation. But when Jesus died, beloved friend, he fulfilled every jot and tittle. Just before his death, he finished it. And he said, concerning Herod, said, go tell that fox that today I do cures, the third day I'll be perfected. That is, I'll finish fulfilling the law, and everything will be just right, and then I'll be ready to be offered. And so he was. Now every jot has been fulfilled. Every tittle has been fulfilled. See, and today the Spirit of Christ that fulfilled that law is in you. And that means you are free from the law. When he folded up his body and laid it away, that was the end of a natural law over a natural man. And today you are not a natural man. You are a spiritual being. As in Adam, a living soul, a natural man, delivered for our offenses, he took our place of that sin. And today, as he that is resurrected, having been buried with him in baptism, having put on Christ, it's not us now living in the presence of the Father, but the body of Christ. For our spirit, interwoven with his spirit through the new birth, went to the body of Christ, which is yonder at his right hand. And that spirit of Christ with our life interwoven is in that body. And the Bible says, Paul speaking of the revelation said, when he, our life, appears. For that's where our life is. We're in heaven. And that's our body. And God is seeing that body. And that I could not do, it was done through Christ. No good thing within the flesh. And what the flesh could not perform, Jesus performed it. And today that's the fulfillment of my performance. I am perfected forever by his works. And that's me sitting on the throne as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And someone would say, where do you get that? The Bible said, he that overcometh, he shall sit down in the throne with me. Someone would say, how can two people sit down in a chair like that? We're not talking about a chair like that. If it was a chair like that, it would be crowded just for Jesus and the Father, the way that they teach three persons in the Godhead. And me and Brother Taylor and another one tried to sit down in this one chair up here, we'd have a problem. But in that God is a spirit and he dwells inside of the body of the Lord Jesus, there is no problem for one person in that he is the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily, as to the bodily part of it, as to the head, he is the fullness, and ye are the members in particular. And when that head comes back, your members are going to relate to it, and you're going to find your life was there, and you are accounted for as the dead and with the dead. And so the dead rises first, and then ye that are alive and remain, suddenly you are resurrected, because you are dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And someone would say, well, I'm not dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, I'm much alive in this world. Well, then if you're not dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, you are in bad shape. You are the kern that the buzzards eat, as to the evil spirits, because the Bible said they that live in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they lived, and some dead, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And that means that you are becoming a bad odor in his nostrils. Then we know, as to saying just these few little thoughts here, then we know that we are different. We are different. And our life is in him. And now he is our body. He has fulfilled all that was necessary. He has lived the perfect life. He hath fulfilled the law. And now the spirit that fulfilled the law and lived perfect in that body has now come into my heart. And because God hath killed my body as to my sins and my stumblings by the body of Jesus, pouring out his wrath upon it, dying out of the presence of God as Jesus did, I am now living in the presence of God. And he was delivered from my offenses, and God gave him up as a son. I am, as to the resurrected one on this side, that lives in God's presence as he that is righteous and holy and clean and perfected forever without spot, without blemish. And I am he that is born of God that cannot sin. And I am he that hath the spirit of life as the prince of life within me. And I am he that is eternal. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. So then it's very obvious as to what God has done. As he is, so am I in him. Can I sit down in the throne with him? Well, first of all, heaven is a big place. And he said, heaven is my throne. It's not crowded, even with all the angels. So I did overcome. The Bible said, he that overcometh. And the songwriter said, we'll overcome, we'll overcome. See, he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna and sit down in the throne with me. And the Bible said, they overcome the evil one by the words of their testimony, and the blood of the Lamb, testifying to the righteousness of God, claiming that as to their benefit and in their behalf. They overcame, and sure enough, the Bible said, then you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you in Christ. I've hid you in Christ, whom the heavens have received, until the restoring of all things. So then we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. If somebody goes to sleep, wake them up. It'd be good for them to be awake in church and sleep at home. They used to have a little system, you know, where they sat behind folks and they tapped them on the head when they went to sleep. We don't have that system, but we do have another system. All right, so then what am I saying? I'm saying that I overcame. So today I'm not in the world, for he chose me out of the world. And where did he take me? He hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And what is heaven? It is his throne. Earth is his footstool. That's why you people that are not born again, and you people that don't know God, you're the old worm. You're the serpent. You're crawling around on your belly because all of your labor's for your belly, because God put the old serpent on his belly. And you're in the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And your God is Satan. Your father is the devil. And you're in this world, and you're saved of the things that be of the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the love of the world's in you. The love of the Father isn't there. And all that's of this world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. And you are a bond child, as to the bondage of your human senses, as to the beggarly elements of the world, which the old worm cannot escape. He then is upon his belly. We have overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. And so we overcome. We are the hidden manna. We are they that dwell in heaven. So then what is the problem? What is the problem? Hasn't Jesus fulfilled the law? Hasn't he taken it all away? And in that the law is fulfilled, every jot and tittle, he went right straight and did it after he told his disciples he would do it. And now that we're free from the law, in that the Christ that fulfilled the law within that body and wrought righteousness in it is now in this body, and now this body is his body, which means it can't sin, and there is no sin to it, and Satan hath no power over it, and it is perfect forever. And where is it? He ascended back to heaven. He said, you're of the world. You came from the dust. You go back to the dust, but I didn't. I come from heaven, as it was said of John, a man sent from God. Someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, I believe that. Then you do believe that the kingdom is here. You do believe that the kingdom is here. You do believe that when Jesus said, thy kingdom come, Father, thy kingdom come, you do believe that Christ within you is the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Someone said, well, not the kingdom of heaven. It also says the kingdom of heaven. They're one and the same. So you do believe the kingdom of heaven's within you. As the Bible said, the kingdom of God, and I'm just talking to you like little children, like I did this morning. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You people that keep looking for that day and looking for that time, I tell you in the name of the Lord, you don't understand. The kingdom of God cannot, has not, will never come by your seeing and your observation. This is what caused the Jews to miss it. They kept saying, will ye at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The Christ spoke up and said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. Why are you looking for a kingdom? So they missed the kingdom. Will there be a restoration? Sure, there'll be restoration. Will it come just as beautiful as a garden? Where will it be? The same place you are right now. The same place. Somebody said, well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm waiting for that millennium to come. Folks, we got something better than a millennium. Amen. God have mercy on your soul if you can't see that you got something better than a millennium. If you're like the Jews and you're just waiting for a millennium, you know, you're still related to the earth, because the millennium is nothing more than this earth right here. Someone would say, oh no, it's a new earth. Where did you read that in the Bible? Whoever told you that? No, it's not the new earth. It's the same earth that you're on right now. The same earth. So then God just purges, takes away the curse, the briars, all of the curse, and it blossomed like a rose. Someone would say, well, now that's what I'm waiting for. All right. Then they got a little song that says, to each his own. And that's what you own. But I found heaven and Christ that is far better than a desert blossoming like a rose. He is the abundance of living. He is the Prince of life. He is in my heart, and my angelic being went far from this world, far from this earth, into the wonderful heavens of God. And that's why I enjoy the revelation of Jesus Christ. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, is there whatever you want? That's your business. You know, it's just my business to tell you that all down through the years, the lights got brighter and brighter. And that all down through the years, people have been moving from one heaven to another heaven, and one from one state of mind to another state of mind, from one virtue to another virtue, to one glory to one glory, as another glory. And since I've taken so much time talking, it seems like sometimes that's the only way I can get this thing over to you, is just talk to you. So then, if you believe what I'm saying, then you believe that the law is folded up and laid away. Then do you believe that the law is gone? And that you are not under the law anymore? Or do you think that we must wait, as it was said of Jesus, not one jot nor tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled? And go on and say, well, the world is over. It'll all be fulfilled. What's the world got to do with it? What's hours got to do with it? What's time got to do with it? Jesus was the one that came to fulfill the law. He doesn't say anything about time. Someone said, well, when the church gets ready and when he perfects the church, does that mean that hour after hour you're getting better? It looks to me like you're getting worse. And the Bible said it'll be so bad that we don't know that there'll be any faith in the earth, except for the fact the Bible does say there was some elect that would be spared. I'll shorten the days for the elect's sake, or there wouldn't be nobody spared. They're going to blow the whole thing up. So is your day by day making you better? Can you yourself in what you seek to do in your life as of that you've wrought in the days gone by, is that better than what Jesus wrought? Are you doing a better job than he done? Do you think you can handle your life and your soul better than he handled it, and you can straighten it out when he couldn't do it at Calvary? You think you've done a better job? See, this is where self-righteousness comes in, and this is some of the worst people in the world. I have more trouble with people at Bethlehem who try to fast and pray and do those things as a self-righteousness than anybody else, because there's something about them that they got a confidence that's not a God esteem as to the word, as to praise the Lord, but a self-esteem as to what they've done. So then, can you do a better job of it? If you can, I am utterly amazed that the Jews failed so in their efforts, because they did at least 10 times daily what you do as to try to be straight, and it wasn't good enough. And Jesus lived the perfect life, the perfect life, and still couldn't be justified in all that he'd done. By the law shall no flesh be justified. Therefore we don't know Jesus after the flesh anymore. Someone will say, well, I believe Jesus was. Well, why was it after he lived the perfect life that when he offered himself to the Father, the heavens become as dark as sackcloth of hair, and he screamed out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why should God forsake him? So you see how mixed up we can be. So is the law fulfilled? I trust him that he hath done a good job. I trust him that he is the author of my salvation and the finisher. And someone would say, well, that's what I believe. I'm going to walk with God, and someday he's going to finish this thing because he started. Well, again, you and I don't see eye to eye. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. I don't see anything about someday he's going to finish my salvation. Jesus was the author of it, and he was the finisher of it. And he started it in the foreknowledge of God and finished it in the foreknowledge of God. He brought it to Calvary to present it and finish it right there. And when he looked up to the heavens, he said, Father, it is finished. So he started my salvation. He finished my salvation and perfected me forever, and sealed me to where I cannot sin. And now he said, blessed is the man unto whom I will not impute sin. I just won't impute sin to him. Let him stagger, stumble, fall 7 times, get back up, but I won't impute no sin to him, because he cannot sin. My seed remaineth in him. He's my child. He hath my spirit. And he cannot sin. And not only that, but no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You are my elect. I elected you by grace in my foreknowledge. Peter said, names written down in the Lamb's book of life before the world ever was, elect according to what he foreknew. Jacob have I loved. I foreknew you and I love you. Esau have I hated. I foreknew him. I know his manner is him. I know his way. I hate him. The children haven't done no good or evil. Didn't have nothing to do with them. So then, in that he started and he finished it, what is all the preaching about down through the church ages? Wrought in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary to the rent veil, the expose, and then preached by the preachers down to the church ages as one messenger and another as a candle lighting a candle, till the end, and there he is in the midst of the 7 messengers as to the candlesticks, and the whole thing is finished, and the doors open in heaven. He said, John, and the rapture took place, as you say. So then if he fulfilled the law, beloved friend, and he folded it up and he laid it away, every jot and tittle, why are you struggling to do that? The Bible said God swear that they should not enter into his rest because they murmured against the preacher. They trusted in their own ability. And God swore that he wouldn't let them go into Canaan. And though Moses pleaded their cause, he still didn't let them go into Canaan. The earth opened up and he swallowed up all of them, save Joshua and Caleb. He said they had a different spirit. And that's where the secret is. It depends on what kind of spirit you have. aura that you have. All came out of Egypt, but all didn't have the same spirit. Now all are under the blood that's on the seat of atonement as to the days of grace. All were under the cloud, the Bible said. All were under the pillar of fire. But with many of them, God was not well pleased because they turned back into Egypt in their heart. They had the love of the world on the inside of them, in their heart. And when time come to go over, he said these two had a different spirit. The rest went back into Egypt in their heart. And others took their inheritance on this side of the Jordan. And that's what you've done. You're willing to use your faith for houses and lands and comforts and convenience. And ministers are willing to preach prosperity and all these things, which indeed belongs to the children of God. But perverting their mind and turning their hearts away from the simplicity of Christ, they've got them involved in the things of the world and entangled in the things of the world to where the ministers want to be some kind of playboy and movie star, get on television and project self to whatever, all these kind of things. You know? And so they can't get over the Jordan of the old covetousness of their life or the lust of their flesh and eyes. You know, people see what you're doing. Like God took David from among the sheepcote, gave him a name like unto the great men of the earth. Like today, Betty and I went down to a place, took lunch. We had free lunch. Went down to this place. I had passed this place in social circle. And I thought, mine would be nice if that belonged to God. And sure enough, being for sale, Church of God bought it following that. Then the people up here that you go to their cafe a lot of times, the American Legion, they bought it. Now they have it. And we got a free meal. And today they told us we're going to have another one. We got a free meal from one of the brethren working down there. And when we come, they made a big fuss over us and said, you're our guest, you know, and there's a complimentary thing that we want you to have a free meal, come back. And then Lewis hemmed me up and began to talk to me about God, as did the wife to the wife there. And he was telling me all about the good things of God. He said, God gave this to me, Brother Pike. I was telling him how beautiful it was. And he favors little Bethlehem, said, I want to come out there and hear you preach. Said, I hear about these things where you're preaching around the world. He said, it thrilled him to hear about this, seeing America in the mess that she's in and the children of America being in the mess they're in. And this just thrilled his heart. See, people know about you. You don't have to magnify yourself and project yourself. The Bible says Jesus did not seek to make of himself a reputation. He was just a common fella. See, and I said that again to say this. We just want to be plain folks. We want to be down to earth folks. We want to hear the wonderful word of God. We don't want to project ourselves like the world. So, being simple people, God comes to us and gives us this revelation. All of our warfare is accomplished. We don't have to fight any battles. Israel, thy warfare is accomplished, if you could just only believe. But because they don't believe, they have to fight their own battles. Folks, that's the way it is with people at Bethlehem and around the world. Your warfare is accomplished. It's all finished. Every jot and tittle of the law is finished. It's folded up. It's laid away. And now the righteousness of the law, which is the Spirit of Christ, is within you. And Paul said, even as to the Jews, if those that have the law written within their heart, fulfill the law, and that by nature, their thoughts being the means while accusing or else excusing one another, won't they be justified in the day of judgment as to considering you as the Jew that have a natural law? And Paul said, you have it, none of you keep it. Said, which one is right? So we're not under the law, and the Jew still being under the law because of unbelief, not under the law otherwise because they have the same privilege everybody else does, but being blinded in part until the days of the Gentiles are finished and the church is sealed in, which is the beautiful bride, then the natural body will be changed. And of course that goes back to the adoption and many things that we'd have to say as to preaching on the baptism, on the doctrine of baptisms, and on adoption. But anyway, great is the mystery. So just a little exhortation again tonight. The law is fulfilled. Do you believe that? Let me see your hand if you believe that. You believe the law is fulfilled, every jot and every tittle. Now let me see the hands of them that don't believe that, that believe it's yet to be fulfilled. It's obvious that we've got a divided congregation because so few hands go up. Someone said, well, I don't know, I'm just in between. No, there's no in between. Jesus said, if you're in between, you're lukewarm, you vomit, I spew you out of my mouth. So you got to admit that you're just ignorant and don't know, and that you're cold and you need some tutoring to get the grace and the blood on the seat of atonement. And he can give it as long as you're ignorant, truthfully ignorant. Or you got to admit that you know and that you're going to be fervent in the spirit and you're going to push in and you're going to really drive for the things of God to be blessed. All right, so we're beginning to see who we are, where we come from, what we're doing, and where we're going. And we're not just idling along, you know. Just a few more things, and we're going to close. I'm not going to get into a sermon or whatever, just talking to you. So then the law is fulfilled. He told them every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled. So sure enough, he fulfilled it. He went right on to Calvary. And then each says that he is the author and finisher of our salvation and of our faith. And sure enough, he finished it. And he said, Father, it's finished. And then, as we're told that he fulfilled the law, he also said, and when my kingdom comes, I want my will done on earth as in heaven. And sure enough, the kingdom came. Someone would say, well, where do you read that? Because the reference back to it is the law and the prophets were until John, and then the Lord fulfilled it. And since then, the kingdom of God has been preached. And say not in heaven or in the earth as to go up to bring it down or into the earth to bring it up, but it is nigh unto you. And the kingdom of God is at hand to repent to ye and receive the gospel or the kingdom of God, or that is, the Bible said flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom, because you'll never see it by eye observation as to your natural man, because the kingdom of God is spirit. My kingdom's not of this world. Jesus said to that group of carnal people, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's not of you. It's not of flesh. It's not of blood. You can't get it like that. You can't see it like that. It is a spiritual kingdom to a spiritual man. And you never see it by observation. It is an inheritance. You inherit it just like drinking a glass of water. It goes down within your innermost being. You inherit spirit. And the interspirit inherits Christ's spirit by faith in the righteousness of the atonement of that Lamb. And when that Christ spirit comes into you, then all of the things of God, as to the riches and wealth of all his kingdom, comes to you, because the spirit of the things of God knoweth no man's spirit, and it won't come to you though religiously you might be, though today it is as to the outpouring, as to the illumination. But after a while the rain will be gone and the tare will be burned with fire, unquenchable fire. So when you get the Spirit of God, the things of God will come to you, whether it's revelation, whatever it be. So let's look at it now. A summary of all these. If the law is fulfilled, every jot and tittle. If the kingdom of God has at last come, and if God is translating men into the kingdom, and if he hath finished our faith, since he was the beginner of it, he was the finisher of it, then someone would say, well, what's going on in my heart? It's that heavenly treasure that's been revealed since Calvary and now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, even as to the heavenly places. And you have this heavenly treasure as to this mind of understanding within your earthen vessels. It's what God purposed in himself as his mind, wrought it all within his mind, did it all within his mind. Foreknowledge, he put Jacob here and Esau here. And said, this world that you pass through is Esau's world. Don't mess with it. Be honest, don't be a con, pay your way. Yours is over the Jordan. Once you cross that old natural mind, you can go into Canaan and get these wonderful fruits of the Spirit. And you are a spiritual being. For you're not a carnal being. In Adam, you all die as a living soul. But now through the washing of regeneration, you've been born again, baptized into his death and resurrected into his resurrection, and having put on Christ, now you are the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. And so then that means that you are not what you were, but you are what Christ hath made you. And as he is, so are you in him. For God hath wrought all in Christ as to you, as to the benefit. And that's what he looks at, is Christ. And all the world through the blood, and until the change, as to you recognizing the change, it will be that way. But it's all done. And the spirit man has a spirit world with a spirit life and a spirit understanding. And he dwells in a spirit world as to heaven. For heaven is my throne. The others have a God over them, which is the God of the flesh, the serpent of the dust. He saveth the things that be of the world. And he fills your heart with the love of the world, because the world is in you, just like the kingdom of God is in the children of God. For the Bible said God has set the world within you. And the transformating of your mind is to that life and world, is from glory to glory, as to just like translating a Bible word by word or a book word for word. So then your mind is the world, and your heart is the world, and your life is the world, and your desire is the world, and your lust is the world, and lust versus love. And you have the kingdom of God, and you have faith, and you have desire of godliness, and you have love, not lust. So then all the reproduction of the earth is out of lust for one another. If the law is fulfilled, if your salvation is your faith is now perfect, finished, we are set here for the perfecting of your faith. Somebody said the ministry, to perfect your faith. That's right. Then you're going to make our faith perfect. Yes, that's right. Then am I the one to make your faith perfect? Oh, no. Christ perfected your faith. He finished your faith. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. I am a preacher of righteousness. And it's not me speaking, but it's to the oral expression of the Holy Spirit that's speaking through you as to bring you the understanding of that divine mind of his purpose before the world ever was, and reveal it to you as a little bit at a time till that full mind is revealed in you as to whatever measure you're going to allow it to be, as to the growth of a little girl, a boy, as to some that's older as a teenager, as to a grown-up, and with the ancient there is wisdom. So then that means that our translation into the kingdom, our rapture into heaven, our catching away, and our journey from Egypt to Canaan has all been spirit and all been invisible, and has altogether been as the Holy Spirit through the ministry leads you. Because in the natural it's Moses, but in the spirit it's Joshua. As it was with Jesus, as to Moses, the prophet like unto, as to Christ it was Joshua, as to crossing the carnal mind and taking him into Canaan. And that's why we sing the little song, cross over to the other side of Jordan. Get over the old intellectual mind as to the concept of being something big in the world, and to the celebrities as to the upper echelon, and get into the things of Christ and live a holy, godly, pure, overcoming life. To put the old serpent down, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put your foot on his head, because he is a great thinker and all of his thinking is wrong. And you need to put your foot on his head as to the new man, and crush out every thought to where there's not one thought that is left, until you bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. All your ambitions, all of the things that you're interested in, your face, your body, your money, your program, having a place in this world, being some kind of a great person, having a career, all of that is of the devil. All of that is junk. All of that is that God burns. And if that's what you are in your mind, then you'll burn with the rubbish, because that means you're rubbish. Satan wants to project your personality. He wants to project your body. He wants to project your face, your form. He wants to allure as to his devilish doings, as to corruption. But Jesus has done away with that part of you at Calvary. And God wants to see Christ as meditating in his laws day and night, holy, godly, pure, righteous. Can you see by this how messed up the world is in religion? They don't teach this. Someone's line of words taught. Well, you need to share it with me, because I'd love to make friends with them. because we need all the friends we can find that does it. They don't teach this. High priests around the world, they don't teach this. They don't even understand this. As far as they're concerned, this would be wild to them. This would be way out. All they think about is, you know, we got to be good folks, and we got to go to church, we got to do right, and we can't be strange. We've got to blend in with everybody and have jobs and be dignitaries and do whatever and all these kind of things, you know, and let them all know that this is the church. And it's true that God has some reflectors out there, and he has people to do all these things. But folks, we are going on to perfection. We're going on not staying down here in elementary school. We're not in kindergarten. We're not going to be dropouts just to run around, drink an old hot rod and whatever, and find out in the end that all the polished ethics belongs to the professional men that endured and went the full length as to the race. And we're going to run according to the rules, because not everyone that runs in the race wins, but he that runs according to the rules. Break the rules, you might get there ahead, but you'll just be cast out, as some of these pretty boys on television, pretty girls on television are being. That's the way they're being done. All right. So then who are we? We are God's. Kindergarten? No. Elementary school? No. Where are we? We're moving on through college, headed for the diplomacy. To be as to the head of the nation, the head of the world. Say, well, will everybody be that way? No. There's the feminine gender, the masculine gender. There is the children. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. They're also friends of the bridegroom. They're also handmaids. Like when somebody gets to be born again, you know, they used to send handmaids because there wasn't any physicians as to that time, and the handmaids lived with the man and wife, and they brought forth the children, which was a blessed thing and a holy thing. Now they've ruled them out where handmaids can't do that. See, the Bible said handmaids, there are people that go along with you. They're not daughters of the Lord. They're handmaids, and God pours out his spirit upon the handmaids. And God pours out his spirit upon all flesh. The rain on the unjust as the just, the briar, and the wheat. But the harvest is according to the end, or the end according to the harvest. And as to what the yielding is, that's the way it'll be treated at the end time. As to what your life has been, you'll know. You are known by your doings, and you'll know your reward according to your doings. For every man should be according to his works as to the reward. So then, in these little few little things here, you can see it sheds a whole light on religion. It shows the playing of the children, that they're still little children at the very best and the greatest of the denominations, and still waiting for things to happen that's happened long ago, and waiting for things to happen that will never happen. And as to a rapture of going to heaven, do we have anybody out there that would like to go to heaven? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But is there anybody out there that would like to go to heaven? Someone will say, what do you mean by that? I mean, the door is open now. There's a door open in heaven. And the voice said, come up hither. Since I've been in heaven, I've enjoyed it. If you'd like to go to heaven, you're welcome. Someone said, well, when I die, what's that got to do with you going to heaven? You may die and go to hell, as you say. I don't have nothing to do with it. The Bible said God has already translated us into the kingdom of heaven, that we're already sitting in heavenly places. Somebody says, well, them things sound good, Brother Pike, and I just know you're preaching. I'm not going to question because they sound good. And, you know, and I can just imagine it would be like that, you know. But not really, somebody says. Oh, yes, really. I really genuinely am in heaven. Someone says, well, I can't get a hold of that. Neither could Nicodemus, though he was a great preacher of his day as to a leader among the people. And Jesus said, and you don't understand these things? Said, but nevertheless, I'm still in heaven. Someone said, well, what's that got to do with you? The Bible said, as he is, so am I. In him, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That where I am, ye shall be also. And that's where I am. It's where he is also. Now, so if all these things are being done, then what are we waiting for? Am I perfecting your faith? I am, by revealing to you, and yet not I, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is revealing to you your rights. It's revealing to you the will of your Heavenly Father that was written with blood and left to the attorneys of this life, or as to the lawyers of this life, when Jesus rebuked the lawyers of that day and said, "You lawyers and Pharisees, you're hypocrites." He said, "You've taken away the key to knowledge. You don't offer life to nobody." But we're not hypocrites. And we are those that are here for your benefit. As to the change of the law, as from law to grace, there's a necessity of change of priesthood, from priesthood to the ministry. As to the fivefold ministry, to reveal to you, as to perfecting your faith, that you might believe and have the benefits of God. Some word said, when? Now. It is now that God heals you. It is now that God saves you. It is now that God said, "I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, give you the desires of your heart. And if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart, and my blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow." It is now that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is now that the Bible said you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not. And it is now that you are perfected forever by the offering up of the body, having been sanctified once and for all. Now. It is now, the Bible said, beloved, that ye are the sons of God. It is now that ye are they that dwell in heaven. It is now that the accuser of the brethren has been cast out, even at Calvary. And what's all this about? As to bring this mind of God to you, to reveal it to you a little at a time. As to your schooling towards your diplomacy, that finally you might wake up and reach and get your diplomacy and say, "My God, Lord, I've been waiting to go to heaven. And here I've been translated into heaven. I've been dwelling in heaven all this time. And this whole thing has been a condition of mind as to the mind of God being revealed, versing as to my mind and the mind of Satan, which has taken your human mind. Because in your first birth, you are the mind of the devil. And the spirit of foolishness is in you from a childhood. And the rod of correction has to drive it far from you. And if I, even as a minister, leave this to you, as to you left to yourself, a child will bring shame." So, what is this about the change? As I said, you missed it, it's gone in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's what it's about. If that's what you're waiting for, that's the way it will be. Well, then there must be something that we can do. There's something that you can do, because too late, you can't do nothing there. That's all that amounts to. The change amounted to one thing, just that much, the twinkling of an eye. So what did you have to do with the change? What can you do about the change? How are you going to be changed? That's nothing. I'm telling you, you are a spiritual being with a spiritual God, and an invisible thing is a masterpiece to be unveiled. And God is tutoring you and taking you and putting you into that place. And when you're all in that place and it hath been revealed to you, who you are and what you are, to be just like this church if it was full of gas and everyone walked in not knowing. And they sat there, everyone. And then after the last one come in that was to come, somebody just struck a match and that'll be it. That's all the change is. So see, the gospel must first be published in all the world for witness, then shall the end come. So you that are not growing in the grace and knowledge, you that do not understand, you that are not moving into this thing, you missed it. Someone would say, "Well, bless God, I know I got it." Could be. Maybe you're a reflector. You might be intellectually self-esteemed. I do know one thing, that many of you that have been here for a number of years, that no matter where I send you or what I send you to do, you always wind up testifying of yourself and doing your own thing and making your drive for your own thing. And it's very obvious I don't see any revelation coming out of you or your ministry. So somewhere you missed something. That's for sure. It must be an intellectual brainstorm of the computer being out of control, as somebody said. And so it is with many of you that supposedly live the Christian life. So then it would behoove us to do one thing, and that is, as the Bible said, is to our example, who bent down and washed the feet, to esteem others better than ourselves, to look on the things of others, to seek the welfare of others, to go after the things of God, to seek them first and let God add all the other things, as to the lily to take care of us, as to whatever it might be. This don't set well with that carnal mind, whether men or women. It don't, because the devil muses in their mind. I can stand here and just feel him and see him as he muses within their mind that, you know, that does away with my pretty face. That does away with what I think I am. That does away with my little flirty doings. And that does away with my lust. And that does away with my covetousness. And that does away with all my plans and my geniuses of life. Indeed it does. Indeed it does. Someone would say, well, bless God, I think I can serve God and go on like I am. I think that you can reflect it and have the grace upon you, the mercy upon you, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. But I think you're of the devil, and you are children of the devil, and you'll do his will, because the child is known by his doings, and the love of the world is to your face and body and forms and all the other things, is the money, businesses, whatever it might be in the world, all of that is going to pass away, and you're going to pass away with it. But to you, blessed, lovely children of God, and certainly you are blessed and lovely, you don't realize how lovely, for now you're the children of God. Now you're the sons of God. Though it doth not yet appear to your natural eye what you should be like, because as I said, what will happen that quick, and that's what you are, and then it doth appear. So at the sound of the last trump, a lot to be said there. But beloved friend, if you want to be part of this, now is the time. Don't wait. There ain't nothing coming. It's already here. It's already here. Someone will say, well, I don't understand it. I'm sorry, because the Bible says the wicked shall not understand. It's very evident you don't understand because you're wicked, because the Bible said the righteous shall understand. Someone said, well, I just don't live good enough. No, the Bible said it's by his righteousness, not by yours. And it's when you leave off with your struggling and ability to do and perfect that you find yourself in his rest as to faith in his finished works and faith in his word. And then you find that you can take that heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel, kill out that old serpent as to that cocoon, and let that little butterfly get away from there, and he can dwell in the heavens indeed. He's already in heaven as to your spirit inwardly in the kingdom of God, keeping under the body, bringing it into control. But he's going to break through from this little cocoon as a reality as to your natural thinking. And the world's going to see him. He's going to be a lovely little butterfly. He's been in there all the time. The little child is carried in the womb. This was there all the time. Just waiting until the last bit of maturity. And then the rent veil is going back to the opening of the matrix. And suddenly as we look in heaven, and there he is, Calvary. And that headship is sitting right there. That, as I say, is the travail of the woman. After that, then the handmaids can help. But the first part is that, and he travailed, and he's sitting at the right hand, even the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are his members in particular. And someone would say, well, we're in the earth. No, we are dwelling in heaven with him. Someone said, this body, natural body, spiritual body, terrestrial body, celestial body, you've borne the image of the earthy as to the worm. You've got a heavenly, it's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It'll make itself manifest. And that is what is called the change, the rapture. When he appears in the Shekinah, all of a sudden, all the unbecomingness will fade away as though the sun shone within his strength. But at this present moment, we're working to make this heavenly treasure manifest in the mortal genes. See, that's what we are, not what we're going to be. That's what we've always been. That's what we was before the world ever was. That's what we always are throughout eternity. Nothing else. Just here to tell you who you are and what you are. And as to whatever you can have your eyes enlightened, as to whatever you surrender, as to whatever measure, then that's what you are. Whether in that world is to come as to children, or whether it is a greater measure, it's up to you. Let's stand together and sing a little chorus. What is this preaching for? It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. Christ coming, he shall appear in the heavens, and every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Even they that crucified him that are passed on under the clay shall narrowly look upon him. Shall he then appear in the heavens? And he will. For the Jews are looking for the Messiah. As to those natural heavens and natural clouds, but where is he? The Bible said we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, people like an underwater, and waters being drawn up by the great light as to the heavenly strength of that wonderful, wonderful thing called the sunlight, the spiritual day star that's dawning within our heart. and the waters of life being drawn out of this earth as to the old crust of the hardness and of the old worm, that it might dry up and break open as a cocoon, that the butterfly might go forth. And so it's drawing the waters out. The waters above the earth, above the firmament, the waters below the firmament, and the firmament relating back to Calvary, and light and darkness divided asunder to the rent veil. So it's very obvious that there's something that's drawing our life from out of our body inwardly into the kingdom of heaven within us, as to the high, wonderful places, that it don't take place in this old cocoon of a worm as to the lust of the flesh. And it dries up like a potsherd. My, would it be wonderful just to talk about life and death, as to which is which and what is what, and whether or not it's real, and whether we've got it or haven't got it, or who has got it and who hasn't got it. But it takes a little time, and I've already felt some of you begin to, though you're very attentive in your thoughts, very eager to hear. But I felt a little give just a few minutes ago as to how long I was going to take. A lot to be said. 11:15, Revelation. The second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, kind of read this on our flag, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So there's a shock that's coming. There's a great shock. It's on the horizon. It's coming. Let's sing a little chorus together. Just remember one thing. Enoch was not translated, Brother Taylor, because he waited for the day to come, nor the certain hour. But it did say that he was translated, that he should not see death. And that because he was not under the law. The seventh from Adam, symbolic of the church. Moses and Elijah coming back will die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment because of the law. You're not under the curse. The law's gone, and the curse was by the law. Cursed shall the ground be, cursed, sickness, all these kind of things. He was translated, but he was translated by faith. By faith. So you better begin to look in the direction of the word as to the minister preaching, and faith cometh by hearing of the word. And he was translated by faith, not waiting. Not waiting. Satan will create a procrastination and a foolishness in your mind, and you'll be left. Pray for us. Brother John is wanting us to come over to Mississippi. Brother Baldwin is wanting to set up a 50 by 50 tent. And that to dedicate a church there for Brother John in Mississippi. And the different places that we're supposed to go, they've got things partially ready for the meeting in Hawaii. We preached there before. It was on the radio there quite a bit. And though the people are wild in Hawaii, so are they in Monroe. And to go into all the world, that takes in Hawaii, preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody would say, well, now that's mighty convenient going to Hawaii. I heard some folks say, I'd sure like to go. I wonder why. Well, just think, a land of vacation. Well, believe it or not, it's not convenient for me. It's not thrilling to me. It's not a paradise to me, even though it is symbolic of that as to what's happening. Because I can't go down along the beaches and the other places without feeling under condemnation. Rarely that I can find a place to enjoy the wonderful flow of the tide. I can't mix and mingle with the dancers and with the frolickers and just lay down my salvation, somebody says, for a moment or two, that I might do the things of the world. I found it convenient to lay down my salvation. Like a man told a boy one time, I was relating this to my wife today. The man is a preacher in this area. He's a holiness preacher. Strong, healthy fella. He's getting up in age now, but still strong. And his son-in-law was always in his face, I understand, saying things to him, threatening him, acting up and drinking and whatever. And he just let it go. gentle as he could be. Till one day he got tired of it and he said, "Son," he said, "I'm going to lay down my religion for just a few minutes and I'm going to take care of you." And that son-in-law didn't give him no more trouble. He took off and left him. That was it. Because he was a big fella and he was a strong fella, and he'd have probably bashed his head in if he'd got that far along. But he didn't have no more son-in-law trouble out of him, from what I hear. Let's sing a little chorus together, okay? Let's sing "I Love Him, Brother Tyler." "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Love is indeed, not in word, but indeed. I preach to you not because I'm good, but because he's good. And because he sent me, and because he told me that I should do this. And I am just as you are. Paul said, if I don't keep under my body and bring it into subjection as to putting a bridle on it, I shall be a castaway after I preach to you. So I'm just like you are. We just come together and people meet people. But when you're hungry and when you listen, God speaks. And he tells you like it is. So think it all over. Are then all these things that's being taught throughout the land, is that the way it is? Or is it the way that we're seeing it tonight, that these things have already been wrought in Christ? Is there then everything that is to come? Or is it that everything did come? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, the kingdom is everything. Is it that God is going to give us all things that pertain unto life if we faithfully endure? Or is it that the Bible said God hath already given us all things that pertain unto life? And according to your faith, so be it unto you. Is it that we are going to get to the place to where we'll be able to do what we'd like to do? Or is it already that Jesus said, say what you will, don't doubt in your heart, it'll be done to you? See, what is it? Is God a God of time element? Or is days and nights just something that you and I are caught in the fog? And that with him, there is no such thing. And he longs for the day when there'll be no such thing with you. All right. Let's sing a song. Paul said, you esteem one day above another. I'm afraid of it. So be persuaded in your own mind. Regard the day to the Lord. That's all right. But he said, some esteemeth every day alike. The day star, just one day, is rest. Entered into the rest on the day of the Lord. Give me another key for it. This is the day. This is the day. Remember the day of rest now. They did not enter into it in the wilderness. And he swore that they would not enter into it because of their mumbling and grumbling. Didn't have faith in Moses to take them to Canaan. And so they were cut off. Now where's your faith, Jesus said? Entering into the day of his rest. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. Even from Calvary, let us enter into his rest. For therefore there remaineth the rest for God's people, seeing that these did not enter into it because of mumbling and grumbling. And ye fear lest ye come short of entering into that rest, as to having that understanding and that revealed to you. For this is the day, this is the day that my Lord hath made, Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. All your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Sing that again.
So let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. All your sorrows will vanish and your night turn into day. Let go and let God have.
Can you sing it just one more time?
Let go. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar tonight. Wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Let's sing this little chorus.
We'll overcome. We'll overcome. Overcome someday. If in my heart, friend, I can believe, I'll overcome someday.
Gonna walk on streets of gold.
Walk on streets of gold. I'll walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold someday.
Gonna see my Savior's face.
See my Savior's face. Gonna see my Savior's face someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll see my Savior's face. Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. Gonna shake my Savior's hand someday. If in I can believe, shake my Savior's hand someday. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome.
Can you sing it one more time?
So we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday.
Somebody say hallelujah. All right, I know that you don't see this. I understand that. But there is a few, not very many, a little flock, narrows the way, few there be that find it. And I know, though you've heard, almost hear the gospel, and I know you reflected, but there are the few that will get it. If it's few throughout the world, you can imagine how small the number would be at Bethlehem. So, there are few, and you that are the chosen few, you can receive nothing except it be given you of God. So, you that are the chosen few that have received this, don't let no one take it away from you. Hold fast to your crown, and don't let no man take it, because people come talk to you, and they can say things, and before you realize it, your mind has gone somewhere else, and you lost your crown. Because Paul said, we serve the Lord with our mind, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Your mind slips, you're back in the world. You're doing the things of the world. See, back to self-righteousness. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hold fast to what you've got. And don't let anyone take your crown. All right, let's sing another little chorus or two together and we'll let you go. Appreciate your attention tonight, your devotion. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Remember now, for the angel will stand on the sea, said the mysteries would be finished, and time won't be a need for time. Time is just a thing as to your ritualistic way of life. And time. And so then he spoke the world into existence when he said, let there be, and there was, and the darkness came. And so, as to the twilight and the zone and twilight, and then there came a world, and the brightness that will expel that world, which is the line vanity. That came because God's world was there as in the garden. And with this great light, he is speaking the world out of existence because the world is within your heart. And as this bright light comes on the horizon, then each word from glory to glory, from virtue to virtue, from thought to thought, till there remain no more thoughts. And every thought is cast down and every thought is brought into subjection. And with that, the fading of the world of vanity, and it's gone because the world is in your heart, which is the mind. It came in through the weakness of Adam and Eve, and it's been there ever since. Down through the generations, it's been passed on to you. And as to the voice that said, thou shalt surely die, it rings in your ears. Die, I must. Die, I must. Die, I must. No matter what comes, I must die. I must die. Though I be young, yet I must die. I be old, I must die. I'm rich, but I must die. I'm poor, but I must die. I'm educated, I must die. I'm the president, but I must die. I'm a singer, I'm a great celebrity, but I must die. I'm pretty, I'm handsome. I've really got the right kind of thing to really live it up, but I must die. But you know, that's the beauty. The voice said, and thou shalt surely die. When that mind came to be carnally minded, was death, the old tree of knowledge, human reasoning, to lean to you and understand. But then there came another voice, same voice, that came in Jesus, still God, looking in the cool of the evening and saying, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. And death is conquered. And now, death, where's your sting that came by the transgression of the law and grave? Where's your victory that you had because of the sting of death? And death is swallowed up in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Christ Jesus who swallowed up death. So you be strong in the power of my might. You be of good cheer. Not because you've overcome the world. He said you be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And you believe in what I did. Because as I am, so are you in me. And on we could go with the wonderful, glad tidings of great joy that makes the heart to sing like a canary. So I sing these little choruses to cheer you up and to make you understand what great, mighty gods ye are. Eternal gods that cannot die. Eternal gods that should not have poverty, nor sickness, nor anything. Being gods, yet you die like men because of your intellectual reasoning. The lack of knowledge, even the knowledge of God. But he that findeth the knowledge of God, Solomon said, seek, he'll find the knowledge of God. And then you live forever. So the same voice that said, thou shalt surely die, has again said, now thou shalt surely live. For in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? And he was here all the time. And he was here all the time, waiting patiently in line, just waiting for his time. He was here. Isn't that a shame that we have to give God a time? And he's singing once again, my Lord was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line, but he was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joys that flood my soul, something has happened. And now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more, for the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Raise your hand up to heaven now. Let's sing this. Remember, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And here we go again. Did he fulfill the law? And as to the time when he, as to whom the promise was made, came. And did he fulfill the law? Indeed he did. Did he finish our salvation in faith? Yes, he did. And did the kingdom come? Yes, it did. And was that the people upon whom the end of the world come? And that in the fullness of time, that was that the fullness of time? And did that do away with time, and that now you are in heaven and you're not in the world? And that you are eternal and you are gods, equal to angels. Angels cannot die, they're gods. Not bound anymore. Appointed a man wants to die, and after that the judgment, God looking down from heaven, hearing the groaning of the prisoners, loose them that was appointed unto death. Did he do it? Suffered them in a day that was accepted, as to the day of Calvary, in that wonderful day that the Lord hath made. And here we are again. Is it, could it be that time is gone? Could it be? If so, then that means it went away with the time creature. And when Jesus died, your time creature went away. And now, beloved, you're not the time creatures. You're sons of God. Can sons of God sin? Can sons of God die? Do sons of God have to wait for the blessings of God? Don't you now have all things? Canst thou believe? If you can believe, I am the Son of God, Jesus said. I do what I want to whenever I get ready. I'm not waiting for anything. I'm only going to Calvary because of you. Born in a manger to show that you're among the beast. Walking all the way up into the wonderful Mount of God as to the transfiguration, to show that you don't have to die. And then stepping back down in the human form as to the beast, dying out of the presence of the Father, that you may never have to be put in a casket. That it's not necessary. Paul's mystery, we shall not all sleep. The revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul said he received, even the coming of the Lord, as to in his clouds of witnesses, as to appear there within your heart, expelling the world and speaking it out of existence, as to the gross darkness of your intellectual disturbance of fear and frustration, and bringing the brightness of this day star dawning within your heart, which is the lovely light of the kingdom of God. How beautiful the feet are of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. For time shall be the fullness of time. The fullness of time, God having gathered all things in heaven and earth, everything in earth and heaven under the earth, all into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, all in the ark, the lower story of the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, as to one dimension and another dimension and another dimension. And when the door was closed, the bowels of compassion was gone. There was no more gospel. There was no more light because the children had went away. Folks, you don't realize, and I say this in human expression that you might understand, but you're about to go away. And as you go away, there won't be any more light in that old body, in this old world. As a mediator, as standing in Christ's stead, as to beseech them to come to the Lord, as anything there, as those clouds to absorb the wrath of that sun, to send a refreshing, as to a revival of rain on the just and the unjust, but all of a sudden it will divide. And the hot, blistering sun that will increase seven times until they curse the very God of heaven till it burns everything up. It's coming. My, what we could say about the Revelation. So let's sing again, Frank. And time, and he'll stand with his hands raised to heaven on the land of the sea and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Angel will stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be. While your hands are lifted up and while your eyes are closed, we're going to sing this again now. And time, now where are you? Are you in the earth? If you're not in the earth, then how are you a creature of time? If you're not in the earth, then you're in heaven. Is there time then in heaven? Does the sun come up and go down in heaven? Isn't time as to shadows, as to daylight and dark? Isn't that what time is? And time shall be no more. Almanacs as to month and days and years and seasons. Paul said, I'm afraid of you, esteeming one day as to another season. One above the other, not so with us. The Jews are God's clock in the earth, that from the night we're his clock in the day. And time for us is no more. Went away at Calvary, no more. And time for us. So then, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. But with us, there's no time. We were elect from the foreknowledge of God. We have no time to die, for you pass from death unto life. And some of us are not even sleepy. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Just keep on keeping on, because everything is so beautiful right about this time. I can see the day star. It's beginning to peek over the horizon. And everything is just lovely. It's just lovely. Don't give up now. I remember the little story where they stood these numbers of men out in bed on ice because they'd taken them as worshipers of Christ. And there they had them under guns. And as each one of them fell through the ice, there came a crown down upon their head, and the men in amazement with the guns were astounded according to the story. And then all of a sudden he came down to the last one, and the last one was just about to fall through. The ice was melting, and he recanted. And as he did, the man, one of the men holding the gun, run to the place and told him, said, you a fool. Said, I want to take your place. I saw a beautiful crown that was coming down upon you, and I want that crown. And he stood in his place. Don't let no one take your crown. For time shall be. Every man stand in his place, abide in his calling. No more. And time shall be. No more. And therefore there remaineth a crown for God's people. Paul said, now receive a crown. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown. Not only for me, but all of them that follow him and that love his appearing. There is a crown of righteousness laid up for you. And that righteousness was wrought by Jesus Christ. And he is your crown as to everlasting living, to crown your soul and your spirit. Once again, closing time shall be no more. No more. Upon you has come the fullness of time, the end of the world. And God has gathered all things into Christ. For the angel stands. I'm going to ask Brother Patterson to come and dismiss us if he will. And the land and time shall be. Just one more time. For time shall be. Ain't it good to look out yonder beyond time and see no more birthdays? And know that just one time that you're born into the kingdom of God. And from henceforth and forever you live and you live and you live and you live. And he that followeth me, I give unto him eternal life, and he shall never perish. Isn't that wonderful? To know it's all over, it's all finished. If it's not, you need to visit with me. You need to tell me. You need to bring somebody so that you can help Brother Pike get straightened out. If what I'm saying is right, then you need to go out and do what we're about to sing right here. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we will come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Go tell them about this wonderful way. Oh, we're bringing in the sheaves. Come rejoicing, we're bringing. Sing it again now. Bringing in the sheaves. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that the sins of all people have gone. That's right. Blood on the seat of atonement, soon that'll be over as the dispensational grace. People who shout and sing, people who have God by grace, as to a dispensational overshadowing and illumination. That's not the ones. The ones that's born to the Spirit inwardly, bringing in the sheaves. See the Spirit within you. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. So them that are in a charismatic order doing all those things, are they then of God? Oh no, the child is known by his doing. Do they do righteousness? They confess me with their lips. They praise me. They sing praises, but their lips, it's lip service. Their hearts are far from me. So we're bringing in the sheaves. See, you go out there and bring in the sheaves. And as many as were foreordained to eternal life, they believe. And the Bible said the other that were foreordained unto condemnation, they believe not. But you go out there and get them out of the wilderness from among the beasts. Bring them in. And the nature of Christ on the inside of them will live a good, holy, godly, pure, overcoming life. To be holy in body and in spirit, they're known by their doings. See, and while the others are very religious in the rain, thinking that they've got everything, all of a sudden the blood will come off the seat of atonement. The day star will be gone. The light will be gone. The illumination of grace will be gone. Their intellectual darkness will come over them, and they'll find themselves in the fog of night. Not even healing medicines. No faith, no understanding. Fear, frustration, pain will fill the kingdom of the beast, their beast, and their kingdom will be filled with intellectual ignorance in such a great way because they cannot see when light comes, and they're creatures of darkness, and they're only reflecting your light now, so the blessings of life. That's all. That's all. They're standing here in our midst tonight, like as to the sermon I preached when the congregation divided, and to my left there were gobbling like turkeys. To my right, they were people filled with the Spirit of Almighty God and talking good sense as to the praises of the Lord. When my message was finished, as to what I understood. So, as we say, to each his own, what are you? Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. And we'll come rejoicing. bringing in the sheep,
bringing in.